Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we are going to be studying a passage of Scripture in response to a typical problem with church. Today we're going to be talking about excuses for not going to church. And the passage that we're going to study is Romans chapter 12, and we'll pick it up with verse 5 and go all the way to the end of the passage. Now, rather than read the entire passage and begin the study, we will go into the study and then read the verses in the passage as we deal with each excuse. Now, in the ministry, I've heard a lot of excuses for not going to church. And we're going to talk about those today. Perhaps your excuse is among some of these. And truly, if your excuse is just a convenient explanation to get out of something you really don't want to do in the first place, then nothing I say here is going to help you. I mean, you may find it interesting. You may want to hear what the other excuses are, but it's not really going to stir you to want to start going to church because you really don't want to be there in the first place. You just don't want to go. That's it, period. But if your excuse is sincere, I mean, you really had a problem with one of these things that we're going to talk about, then I have some thoughts for you which you might want to consider. They may be helpful to you. So we'll go right into it, and we're going to talk today then about excuses for not going to church, and first one on the list, there are too many hypocrites in the church. I hear it a lot. I'd go, but there are just too many hypocrites in the church. Well, in Romans chapter 12, we find this verse in verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Now, that word dissimulation has to do with pretending to be something that you're not, or pretending that a thing is one way when it really is another way. In other words, let love be without dissimulation means love them sincerely, don't love them and pretend to love them when you really don't. In Galatians chapter 2, let me show you what Paul did when he confronted dissimulation. Paul was dealing there with the church, and what happened is that James, Cephas, and John in Galatians chapter 2 perceived that grace was given to Paul, and they gave to Paul and to Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, that is the Gentiles, and that they unto the circumcision. So they split their ministries up. Now Peter came to Antioch, and when he was there, he dissimulated. Look what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. When Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, that is, other Jews, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them, which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. That's hypocrisy. Peter was fine to eat with the Gentiles as long as nobody else was watching. And as soon as those came from Jerusalem, from James, to check out what was going on in Antioch, he pretended to be separated from the Gentiles. And boy, Paul was not happy about that. He wasn't happy about that at all. You know what that was? That's hypocrisy. Now, there are too many hypocrites in the church is the standard excuse, and let me just say this. It is impossible for you to know whether it's true or not until you go and get to know the folks that you call hypocrites. Now, no doubt when you go to some churches, there are going to be some who exude a lot more love in their talk than they do in their walk. But then I'm going to tell you something. In the churches that I have attended, I have found some jewels. Now, if you really confronted some hypocrisy, then be like Paul. Just stand up and say, wait a minute. You know, I know you not to be the kind of person you're pretending to be here, and it's bothering me. Be who you are, or change who you are. Now, do you think you have enough courage to do that? Then you can concern yourself with too many hypocrites in the church. Okay? The second excuse, the people at church are cliquish. They're not friendly. Let's look back in Romans chapter 12 and look at verse 10. The verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 10 tells you and me, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. What does it say? Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Now, the first time that you visit a church, perhaps even the first few times that you visit a church, you're going to be overwhelmed by how the folks get along so well with each other but don't even seem to notice that you're there. And one of the best ways to remedy that problem is not to walk out the door complaining that the people are cliquish and complaining that they're not friendly. The fact that they're not friendly toward you, but they are friendly toward each other, is really just one simple thing. They don't know you that well. All right? And in order for them to get to know you better, the thing to do is to follow Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So if you want to make friends in a church, show yourself friendly. And you know what? They're going to likely change. You know, it's always that way when some new member joins a committee, some new person comes to work. People are that way. They're just at first hard to get to know you. You know, in our church, what we do is during one of the songs, we all break and go greet and meet each other and that kind of thing. And I'll tell you, you know what a visitor will do? A visitor will stay put. And now that's good for me because I want to go to them and introduce myself and welcome them. But by staying put also, they're not intermingling. They're waiting for people to come to them. And when you wait for people to show themselves friendly to you, you know what? It's going to be harder for you to meet friendly people. But when you show yourself friendly, then you're going to fit right in. You're going to easily find yourself part of one of the cliques that you used to criticize. Here's another excuse. Another excuse for not going to church is, I don't fit in, or I won't be accepted because I'm not like them. I'm different. Well, go back to Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, look at verse 16. The Bible says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Now, the attitude, generally, that I won't be accepted because I'm not like them or I don't fit in, somewhat has to do with self-protection. It also has to do with conceit, because sometimes the idea that you are different causes you to actually be a little snooty when you're thinking they're being snooty, if you understand what I'm saying. But he says, be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. In other words, put yourself in among them. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 says that we are accepted in the beloved. That is, when you and I come to the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved, he doesn't have any problem accepting us. We are accepted in the beloved. Now, if we are accepted in Jesus Christ and the church is representative of his body, then let me tell you something. You'll be accepted. Don't be too hard on yourself when you get around people who aren't like you. Really, some people, they come in and they say, well, you know, I'm not dressed right. I'm not social. I don't have the kind of personality. Don't be so hard on yourself because you find your differences. You may find that there are things in your personality, truly, that they love very much. I'm reminded of a deacon in an old stuffy church what happened on that particular day, a hippie came in there. Now, boy, he was out of place, you know, bell-bottom jeans and the whole thing, long hair. Everybody around there, close-cropped hair, dressed in suits and dresses. He didn't, and full. This we're talking about quite some time ago. Full. He didn't find a place, but he really wanted to be in that church. So he walked and walked and walked and just kept going closer and closer to the front, couldn't find a place to sit down. So finally he just sat down on the floor in front of the front pew. Now, that's awkward. But you know what? There was a deacon, an old deacon, one of the old-time deacons in that church that saw the predicament that old hippie was in. He got up out of his seat and walked up there to the front of the church. And I know what you're thinking, to invite that hippie to come sit with him. No. That old deacon sat down on the floor next to that hippie and sat through the rest of that service cross-legged like that hippie, so the guy wouldn't feel out of place. Now, you know something? You don't know if there's somebody in a church just like that do the same thing for you. I'll tell you this. If you go to and begin to attend the church that God wants you to be in, then you're definitely going to fit in with somebody because you become part of a body. And there's somebody that's going to get close to you, and you're going to get close to somebody. So don't, I mean, you can use the excuse, but I think you'll find that the excuse will wane, okay, when you allow yourself to be accepted by the church the same way you're accepted by the beloved. All right, here's another excuse. I was burned by the people or the pastor at a church I used to go to, at a church I once attended, okay? What we're talking about is excuses for not going to church, and I've heard that one. I remember that talking to a guy one time. He was standing on his doorstep. He was adamant. You know, that he was a teenager when the church, when the pastor got into a relationship with another woman other than his wife, and he said, I'm not going back. And when I met this guy, he was probably 40 years old. He hadn't been back to church in 20-something years. That's a bad situation. It is a bad situation, but I'm going to tell you something. Not a good excuse for staying out of church. Maybe that church, okay, but not for all churches. Romans chapter 12, that's where we're studying. Romans chapter 12, look at verse 14. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Look at verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. All right, now, I'm going to tell you, honestly, it shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't have happened, but there are times when you're going to get burned by people in church. It's people. And you know what? You are not the first person. Most people find themselves in conflict with others at some point in their lives. Here's old Paul. He's just been a huge blessing to the church at Galatia. And he writes them a letter after he's been over there, after he's known them. Some people have gone over there to start messing with the Galatians and turned them against Paul. Paul recounts how much they loved him at the first, and look how he makes the comment about now how they're treating him. Galatians chapter 4, begin reading with me in verse 14. Galatians 4, 14. All right, the Bible says, "My temptation which was in my flesh you despised not, nor rejected, but receive me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus." So Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and it was obviously noticeable. And when he came, the people in the church didn't reject him because he had something wrong with him. Verse 15, "Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me." That's how much they loved him. But then look what he says in verse 16. "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Now what happened? Well, they changed their attitude toward Paul. Here this man that had helped them so much, now he's saying, "What, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" That's terrible how that happened. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to be times when you're going to, as you say, be burned by the pastor or by the church or by the people at a church. And you know something? Two things. Number one, we grow through being able to resolve the conflicts. When you have trouble with somebody, the thing to do is don't run. Face the challenge of getting through the problem, if at all possible. If at all possible, get through the problem. Why? Because it may be that what you have felt as being burned has a good explanation and can be resolved and you can get through it. I've gotten through many instances like that. The second thing that I would say is if it was a legitimate burn, I mean, you really, really got hurt and just can't stay, don't rule out all churches because of a bad experience in one. Trust God to lead you to a different one where He wants you to be. Okay? Excuses for not going to church. There are too many hypocrites in the church. We've dealt with that one. The people at the church are cliquish or not friendly. We've dealt with that one. I don't fit in and I won't be accepted because I'm not like them. We've dealt with that one. I was burned by the people at a church once before. We've dealt with that one. But now let's look at another one. I don't trust the pastor. I don't trust the pastor. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, your pastor happens to be one of those all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Well, sometimes it's not possible. Sometimes you got a lousy pastor. Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and through 19 describe a kind of pastor, actually 17 and 18 describe a kind of pastor who's really not trustworthy. I hate to say that, but there are people like that. He's just not a good pastor. Why? Because he's not serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He's serving his own belly. But Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 describe a kind of pastor that you'd really like to have, a gift to the church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, He gave, that's Jesus Christ, gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now that's a good pastor, and that's a gift from God to the church. Listen, the Lord gave pastors to the church. And some truly are not trustworthy and are therefore not to be trusted. But some pastors are trustworthy. And you should be able to trust the Lord to lead your church through a trustworthy pastor. And if you can't, then maybe you lack the ability to trust the Lord to lead you through others. In which case, the problem is with you, not with the church. And it would do you well to learn to trust a trustworthy pastor and to attend a church where you could see God lead the church through the pastor and therefore be a blessing to you. Excuses for not going to church, I don't trust the pastor. If he's not trustworthy, you shouldn't. But if he is, then you should trust the Lord to lead the church through him. Here's another one. Another good excuse for not going to church, they're always talking about money. They're always talking about money. You know something? Money is a part of what goes on at the church, for sure. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 8, talking about the various things that go on at church. The Bible says, He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Look at verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints given to hospitality. Paul, in talking to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, tells them concerning the collection for the saints. He says, Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. And you're very familiar with the passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 6 that says, He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man. According as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And then he gives you some good reasons for that in verses 8, 9, 10, and 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So, money definitely is part of a church. I mean, there's an offering. Most services in our church, we receive an offering at the Sunday morning service, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We don't ordinarily receive offerings. And you know, that's different. I mean, some churches, if they're meeting, they're offering. But let me say this. The pulpit in some churches is not used as a fundraising desk. And the pulpit in some churches is used as a fundraising desk. And may I tell you something? The pulpit is really not to be used for fundraising. It is not to put a grudge on people. It is not to put a necessity on people. It should be used for feeding the flock. And may I tell you something? There are a good many churches who still preach the Word of God from the pulpit and don't center themselves on money. While it's true today that you see a lot who do, it's also true that there are a lot who don't. All right, here's another excuse for not going to church. I don't have the time on Sunday. Or Sunday is my only day to rest. All right, look with me in Romans chapter 12 at verse 15. Then how are you going to do this? The Bible says, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. There is a ministry in the church that allows us, when we're together, to be able to minister to each other, to rejoice with them that do rejoice and to weep with them that weep. Paul tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, the closer we get to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, you oughtn't to be cutting your attendance down to one service a week, but you ought to be going more. And you know something? In a good church, it is amazing how revived you can be after a good sermon. In other words, you think, boy, Sunday's my day off. I surely don't want to have to get dressed and go down to the church. But if the preaching's good and the singing is good and the fellowship is good, there are things that can happen at church that just, I mean, are not like just staying home and resting. When I was in Bible college, my schedule was unbelievably busy. I drove 45 minutes to work. I worked all day pouring concrete, came back just in time to start attending night classes at 6 o'clock in the evening, and went from 6 o'clock in the evening till 10 o'clock in the evening, 4 nights a week, 4 days a week. Okay, 4 nights a week, and and then went to Wednesday night service, Sunday school, Sunday morning service, Sunday evening service, and had all the studying to do too. I mean, I was doing 2 full-time things, and you know what? We always made time to make all of the services. And you say, why? Well, because you were in Bible college, right? Well, no, because not only that, because I was refreshed. They were beneficial, okay? I'm telling you, the excuse is not a legitimate excuse. All right, here's some others. I've got 4 more and maybe not so much time, so let me give those to you quickly. Here's another one. I have to work on Sunday. All right, Romans 12:11. The Bible says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. A lot of people use Sunday as a day to work, to make up because they're not able to stay on the schedule. I'll tell you this. When you're not slothful in business and you're fervent in spirit and you're serving the Lord, it's an amazing thing how God can carve out the schedule. And truly, if you're on shift work and you have to work on a Sunday morning, you generally won't have to work on Sunday evening. And if you have to work on Sunday evening, then you're available on Sunday morning and Wednesday evening. So we've got folks that have to drive 45 minutes to come to church, and they have schedules that prevent them from being here sometimes on Sunday morning, but they always find a way to make it to the other services. So the varieties of service times make it easier for you to attend when you can. Another person would say, I'm against organized religion. Well, Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8 give you a great description of things that go on in a church. The Spirit has given us gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Some prophesy, some minister, some teach, some exhort, some give, some show mercy with cheerfulness. I've just abbreviated what you'll find in verses 6 through 8 in Romans chapter 12. Listen, if the organized religion you're attending is like Matthew chapter 23, where the hypocrites were in verses 5 to 13, I agree with you. I'm against that as well. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, Paul said, let all things be done decently and in order. And you know, a church must be organized. Otherwise, it would really be a mess. So if your opposition is to religious churches that just don't even preach salvation. I understand your opposition, but listen, there are a lot of churches that are not like that. Another excuse a man will say, well, I can worship God anywhere. Romans chapter 12, verse 5 says, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Hard to do in the deer blind, my friend. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 to 16, you're going to find that every joint supplies to every other joint in the body. If you're not there, you don't receive your supply. If you're not there, you don't supply and provide the blessing to others that you should. And then the last excuse we'll look at is this: I don't get anything out of it, or it doesn't do anything for me. That's why I don't go to church. Well, Romans 12, 12. The Bible says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Be patient. Be patient. Come anticipating. Rejoice in hope. Come anticipating to get something out of the service. And pray. Pray. Be instant in prayer. Pray for the preacher to feed you. And remember, this is true. The more you put into the service, the more you're going to get out of it. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. You put something into it, and I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about an effort to be there. You put something into it like the desire to pay attention. Take your Bible with you. Open up, read the passage, okay? Put something into it. You'll get something out of it. These are the excuses that people typically use when they say, I just don't want to go to church. Now, if you just don't want to go to church, then be honest. You don't need an excuse. It's not the church. It's you. You don't want to be there. Okay? But if you want to go to church and one of these excuses we've looked at today is keeping you out of church, then consider what we've said and prayerfully consider where to go and then go. Quit lounging around and living in the past because you had a preacher that begged for money all the time or a preacher that wouldn't feed you or you had a bad experience in the church. Get up. Ask God where he wants you to go, and then go there. Go this Sunday. Go this Sunday. It'll help you. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.